flowers out the windows, the rhododendrons, and the blue sky is here, the warm weather is here, and we have so much for which to be grateful. This morning we gather together to worship as a community of all ages. Let's take a moment right now just to look around at all those who are sharing this sacred space with us. Let us recognize the hearts of our whole community, from our elders to our youngest and all the ages in between. Let us embody the beauty of this whole community, even when there are a few more wiggles, a few more giggles, and a little bit more chatter. Know that you are surrounded by love in this community where everyone is welcome. We want to wish everyone today a happy Mother's Day. The roses here express gratitude for all those who share their love, nurture, time, and care for the tending and mending of hearts and spirits. Your hearts help everyone know that they are loved and not alone in the world. We especially want to welcome those who are here for the first time. We invite you to fill out one of our visitor forms, and you can do that either by pen and paper or by scanning the QR code that's in the seat in front of you. And when you do that, you'll be added to our email list so that you can receive all the announcements about all of the fun things that we're doing here at WOOF each week. Today's service is being live streamed and recorded and will be available on our YouTube channel. And you're also welcome to watch the service live downstairs if you need a little bit more room to move around and have more space. For our online viewers that are watching right now, we offer a follow-up online coffee hour for socializing and just sharing with each other after the service. There is a link in your order of service that was mailed out in your email this morning. And for those of us here in person, please join us for our coffee hour downstairs after the service. It's a great time to share coffee and conversation and just continue the conversations that you started earlier. Our minister, Tracy Springberry, is on sabbatical, and today our guest speaker is Rosie Hamilton. Rosie has been a member at WOOF since 1976 when she moved here from Wyoming. She has been past president, served on the board, the volunteer coordinator, and office manager. At present time, she serves on the auction committee and the stewardship committee. And today, Rosie's message is entitled, Confessions of a UU Mother. Please join me in welcoming Rosie. We now welcome our opening music by the Choristers. That was so beautiful. I was a little bit speechless after listening to you all. Thank you. Just lovely. And our roses are for all those who nurture and care and love and share in the world. So I would like to just take a moment now for us to greet each other. At this time, I'd like to invite Nora to come forward and light our chalice. In community, we light this chalice, a beacon of hope and purpose. As we gather, we acknowledge the profound role of community in raising children. May this flame remind us of our commitment to support and nurture each other, and where every child feels loved and valued. Let us say our opening affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to ourselves and our neighbors. Our opening reading is by Elizabeth Mott, the settled minister at the UU Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Her reading is entitled Co-Regulation. From our very first breath, we reach out. Co-regulation, not self-regulation, is in our nature. We find our cues from the sun and the moon, from each parent and caregiver. We find our place in this great turning planet by turning to one another. Generation to generation, we awaken to the dawn and fall asleep at the evening's end. Our life's journey is part of something greater, something simple, something divine. A flame cannot be lit without a spark. A life cannot begin without air. And we cannot begin to find ourselves without love. May we reach out to one another. May we offer love and nurturing care. May we join together in celebration of the interdependence of our lives. In this spirit, let us worship together. Please join us in our opening hymn, number 360, Here We Have Gathered. May be seated. This is the time in our service when we pause to reflect on the blessings and gifts that we have received from this abundant earth and the spirit of this community, to consider what it is that we have been grateful for. Our WOOF community thrives because of the generous spirit of all of us, of everyone around you. We're all are welcome. As Ben plays our musical interlude, please consider what you have to offer our WOOF community, whether it be financial support, your time, your talent, your ideas, your energy. Know that we all benefit and are grateful for your generosity. The ushers may now come forward to collect our offering for the sustaining work of this beloved community. Thank you very much. Please join me in our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. Liz will now offer our time for all ages.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I love it when you do that. Say good morning back to me. My name's Liz, the Director of Religious Education here at WOOF. My pronouns are largely unimportant. And today, our Time for All Ages story is called If You Plant a Seed by Kadir Nelson. If you plant a tomato seed, a carrot seed, and a cabbage seed, in time, with love and care, tomato, carrot, and cabbage plants will grow. If you plant a seed of selfishness in a very short time, it will grow and grow and grow into a heap of trouble. But if you plant a seed of kindness, in almost no time at all, the fruits of kindness will grow and grow and grow. And they are very, very sweet. Nurturing our kids here at WOOF is like planting seeds, and not just growing their bodies, but their minds and their spirits as well. And kids can also be nurturing. And today, that's the lesson they'll be learning out in the woods on our grounds in our lovely forest. If you don't know, there are some trees that need some extra care back in the back corner of our woods. We're going to be learning about how to take care of those trees and help them to thrive better here at Woof. Now, if you would please rise and form arches across the walkway, we'll sing our children out to their classroom, which is our forest today.
I'd like us now to move into a time of reflection, time for meditation, perhaps a time of prayer, whatever your spiritual tradition or practice might be. And I'd like to read to you some words, particularly for Mother's Day, and to support and acknowledge all that we may be experiencing today. Let us hold in our hearts all those who love their mothers, who had blessed childhoods, and whose mothers loved them and supported them through adulthood, and celebrate today with joy. Let us also hold those who have been hurt by their mothers, don't like their mothers, and no longer speak to their mother, and today find that painful. Let us hold those whose mothers have died and today are filled with sadness, guilt, or relief. Let us hold all mothers in our hearts, those who have found mothering fulfilling, those who have discovered too late they were not suited for the task, and those who just do the best they can each day. Let us also remember all those for whom this day is painful, those who wanted to be a mother but never could, or those who still try month after month without success to conceive, those who have given children up for adoption and wonder where and how they are, those who are separated from their children or their mothers by distance or estrangement. Being a mother and being in relationship with a mother can bring out the best and also the worst in people. So let us bless us wherever we are and whatever we need on this Mother's Day. We'll just take a few moments of silence. This is our time of joys and sorrows. And as most of us know about our ritual, for those that are new here today, this is a time of reflection to consider what it is on your heart that you may be feeling grateful for today, or perhaps a grief or a sorrow that you might be feeling. The water in the bowl represents us, all of us, our hearts in this community, how we support each other, how we surround each other, and how we can hold all that we're experiencing. And so during our ritual, I invite folks who would like to come forward and place a stone in the water. The stone represents whatever might be on your heart that you'd like to place into the water as a symbol of our community and the care that's here. As Ben plays some music, I'll have the microphone if folks would like to briefly share a little bit about what your stone represents. And if you can come up this aisle and then return down this aisle.
for our granddaughter, Naomi, who was in the ICU this week and is now out. And this one is for my 90-year-old aunt, who is in the ICU today.
Bless you.
Grateful for the medical community.
For roots, old ones and new ones.
This small stone holds a ton of gratitude and love for my mother, Nora, whose ashes I wear around my neck, for my daughter, Hillary, who has recently come back into my life, and for my daughter, Ange, my daughter by choice, who's always been by my side.
This stone is just gratitude for all the matriarchs in my life.
This stone is for joy from having watched you. I know you from YouTube for a couple of years, and all of you too. And I'm glad my first time here.
Welcome.
This is from, with appreciation for my mother who joined us today and is in the back, and also for my grandmother, her mother, who passed away on Mother's Day 5 years ago.
This stone is a sorrow for just how absolutely depleted and exhausted I feel with my two boys. They're 2 and 3 years old. And this stone is also the joy of my two boys, because I love them so much.
Thank you. Can I give you a hug? And I'd like to add a stone for Palestine and for the mothers and their children and all that they're going through right now. All the pain and suffering. And I'd like to add another stone for all of the things that are left unsaid today. All that we hold in our hearts, in the quiet spaces of our hearts. I invite everybody to take a deep breath. And all that we're feeling right now, just to send a little bit of love and acceptance into your heart. We're going to participate in a responsive reading now. And the title of it is called, It Takes a UU Village to Raise a UU Child. And it's by Tess Bomberger, who's a Unitarian Universalist minister. And your part is going to be to say, It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. And I will cue you when it's your time. It is important for our children to know that they are cared for, to know that they are part of a larger family, an important part of a bigger human picture. It takes a village to raise a child. It is important for our children to believe in themselves, to trust in themselves, to know that they can make a difference. It takes a village to raise a child. It is important for our children to know our Unitarian Universalist principles, to find ways to live them in their daily lives, and to realize that the choices they make are important. It's a village to raise a child. It is important for our children to be able to speak about faith, to honor its history and its heritage, and to appreciate its heroes and heroines. It takes a village to raise a child. It is important for our children to explore religious truth and meaning in the Jewish, Christian, and other world religions, and to know that ours is a religion worth having. It takes a village to raise a child. It is important for our children to experience the spirit of life, to feel a sense of awe in the grandeur of the world, and to live lives of empathy and compassion. It takes a village to raise a child. The choristers will now offer a musical gift.
Many songs. That's a hard act to follow. Confessions of a UU mother. Many of you here today are UU mothers or fathers or plan to be. I have a bookmark that my mother-in-law made which says, "Motherhood self-destructs after 21 years." I disagree. Once a mother, always a mother. One day I was bemoaning the fact that neither of my boys had settled into a career. What did I do wrong? So I took stock of who they were and what I wanted them to become over the years. What did I want them to grow into, to be when they grew up? I sat down and made a list. My list is fairly long, but I had more time. The things I had written down are these: caring, loving, open-minded, honest, friendly, tolerant, nonviolent, independent, thinking, articulate, respecting others, positive, career, family, self-confident, and sense of humor. Then I looked at them, and I realized that everything on my list applied to them already, all but married and career. How did it happen that they were what I wanted? Did being brought up in the UU religion have anything to do with it? Well, it all began in 1963 when Brian was born. I became a UU mother. But let's back up even further. I really began when I was a child. I was raised a Methodist with a brief stop at a Baptist church. I didn't become a UU until I was married and moved to Oregon when I was 22. Does this prepare a mother to raise two boys as UUs? Most of us here at WOOF were not raised as UUs. You probably know what I mean. There were good things about being raised a Methodist. I knew how to raise Methodists. But I felt that I was plowing new fields when it came to UUs. What from my value system, religious activities and church would be appropriate now? My mother had been tolerant of other religions up to a point. When I was dating a Catholic, she said with great concern, "But there are so many nice Protestant boys." We were attending a very small UU fellowship in Reno, Nevada, at the time when Brian was born. So he started attending from the age of 2 months. When I said a small fellowship, I meant really small. And we had about 20 members and friends. Needless to say, there weren't many children, none. In Cheyenne, we again attended a small UU fellowship. I taught RE-age children and worked with the youth group. I felt it was important to teach Bible stories. UUs came out of the Judeo-Christian heritage, and in the U.S. it helps to know about Bible stories. The Bible is referred to in literature and in common speech, and there are good lessons to teach from it, Good Samaritan and so forth. I bought a book of Bible stories and discussed them with my class and at home. As you all know, religious teachings are the responsibility of all of us. One summer when the fellowship was closed, as was the tradition at that time, all UU fellowships closed, Brian's best friend in the fourth grade, who came from a Baptist family, invited him to go with them on Sunday morning. He wanted to go. With apprehension, I said, "Okay." He came home after attending three times and said he didn't think he would go again. With great relief, I asked, "Why?" He said he knew everything in their church. There had been an oral quiz on the Bible, and Brian knew the answers. My teachings paid off. One of the interesting things we did in RE was situation ethics. Some of you may remember it. Lifeboat exercise and other planet exercises. One of those situations where decisions had to be made regarding life or death. Important discussions with my boys. How do you decide about lives and the importance of people? No right or wrong, just different values in a situation. We started going to UU camp in La Ferrée near Colorado Springs when the boys were 4 and 6. when we moved to Oregon, we'd attended CVEC, the UU family camp in Washington. They had many friends there, and all adults took care of them as needed. Camp was special to both of them. When Brian was 12, he entered the youth group here at WUF, and it was important for him. He became more aware, more knowing who he was. He started writing poetry secretly. He had a religious experience that stayed with him all these years. If you have children, I urge you to consider a summer vacation at camp. It really has paid off for me. There are others here at WUF who will agree with you on this. At the other fellowship we attended, we did many things as a family, just like here at WUF. Ice skating, parties, celebrations. Phil and I were not the only examples our boys had. There were a whole group of people who loved them, people they respected at the fellowship and knew they would listen and discuss with them. When Craig needed a grandfather for Grandfather's Day at school, he asked someone at church to be his grandfather. And they got a very willing response. As you know, the teen years are difficult. How many young people really enjoy those years? How many parents really enjoy those years? This is the time when your values, your teachings, all are called into question. I've always believed in teaching by example. My parents did too. I remember my dad buying timber from someone, and then after logging it, realized he got more from it than he thought he would, so went back and paid more. Once I walked out of a store with a piece of stereo equipment, got all the way to the car. Craig said, "Great, you can keep it." We walked right back to the store and paid for it. These are important lessons we teach by example. At 13, I discovered Craig was shoplifting for other kids. They would tell him what they wanted, and he would get it. Pride in his skill. And the kids thought he was great. They gave him money or something in exchange. So much for my examples. We returned the item, and he was sure his life was ruined and would never speak to me again. Then there was lying and telling the truth. Again, we set a good example. Never lying to our boys and taught them the value of it. Brian was accused of lying, an incident in school involving a bus driver. I backed him at school because he didn't lie. He lied. I felt betrayed. A counselor said, "Don't answer if you don't want to, but don't compromise yourself by lying." Then there were the sex education classes that Larry and Sandra Tappanen and I taught here at WUF. We had a large group of teens, and it went well. There was an overnight trip at Snow Bunny Lodge right after it. In the morning, to my dismay, my son was in a bunk with one of the girls. I don't think anything really happened. If you know Snow Bunny, the bunks are hanging on chains. 3 bunks suspended by chains. Nevertheless, I was a bit upset. Is all of this education really good? Would it have been better not to have had the class? Later, I asked the boys about the classes, and they both thought it had been good and were glad to have had it. They knew the answer when other kids questioned things and said the wrong things. They felt comfortable in talking about sex. I think that it was good. Lorraine Heller and I co-sponsored the youth group for years until both of our youngest boys seemed to be the biggest problems. At the age of 16, so we decided to turn it over to someone else. Maybe it was because we were the parents that they were causing problems. Those years were good years. The kids had opportunities to share with others, talk about important things, and find joy in being with others. Looking back, both of my boys said they had the opportunity to be close to people in many different ways. Not all the same, because each person was different, and yet each was important to the group. There came a time when the boys no longer cared to share our outdoor adventures, which we had done with WUF and on our own, hikes, canoeing, camping. As kids, they had been a part of all this And we were disappointed. Where did we go wrong? Do you ever do that? A couple of years later, Craig and friends started backpacking, kayaking, and whitewater rafting. Brian started going off by himself backpacking. Maybe we didn't go wrong, after all. Some of you may remember the values clarification classes, which were used in the 70s, I think. Phil and I did them at UU camp one year, and we came back with 5 top for both of us. Later, I did the exercise with the youth group. When Brian was done, he came out with 4 of the top 5 that Phil and I had. Maybe he did get some of our values. I asked Brian what he remembered from his RE classes over the years. Much to my surprise, I got a 30-minute response about what an important part it had been in his life. It had provided an atmosphere where he could be open and discuss, talk about things that people have a hard time talking about. But since he could, with a safe group, then he could also talk to other people that way. It gave him an opportunity to develop and formulate ideas and check them out with others he respected. He could come up with his own ideas and be accepted. The biggest difference he sees now in how religion bringing up kids is that he was allowed to be open and to think. UU is positive. There's no fear of other religions. You can take them from them what is good. He was encouraged at home to try and find the answers himself, to look inside to find out what is right. He believes that your life is your beliefs. What you do is what counts, not what you say. He was taught tolerance for others' beliefs. He respected people at the fellowship, and they were secure in their religion and felt that he would come to that also, so there was no fear in what kids said. Other kids said they believed in the Bible, but they hadn't read it and didn't know why they believed. Brian had read more than his friends. People he meets are surprised how open he is and finds himself talking about feelings that they had never discussed before. Finally said, he was taught that what is inside is what counts. Read and see what fits for himself, how it feels. He needed that atmosphere to create his own beliefs and his own philosophy. One time there was a series of articles in the UU World, our national magazine, on what do we want our children to learn. Well, I read the articles and the letters to the editor that followed. Many of them really hit the mark. The ones which said, our teachers are not products of theological schools, but are parents and members who volunteer to impart their experience in UU within the context of an assigned topic. Parents often ask when their children will be learning about Judeo-Christian heritage, UU, and other religions. The reply, whenever you're ready to teach it. I think we're all teachers all the time, and volunteering to share that with other children is important. Children need to be exposed to different adults, different role models, learn that they can respect many and love many at our fellowship. Okay, but are they UUs today? I'd like to share part of a letter that Craig wrote when he applied to a whitewater outfitter. I have been backpacking, snow skiing, and running rivers in one form or another since I was 5 years old. Through my later teen years, I struck out on my own, going on solo backpack trips, teaching myself whitewater rafting, and later kayaking, extreme skiing, and scuba diving. I've always been the type to just buy the book, study the route, recruit inexperienced but trusting friends, pack up the food, and take off down the river or into the wilderness. I've skied all 40-foot cliffs, but the inner understanding and awareness I've gained as a result of their always living on the edge had given me a powerful reason to live, to maximize my potential as a human being and help others do the same. I feel that getting out in the wilderness, learning new skills, and experiencing the awesomeness at power of the river is an excellent vehicle to a better understanding of ourselves and our world. And I would love to be a part of your dynamic process. He got the job. About the same time, Brian wrote a poem. He didn't tell people he wrote poetry, as I say. It was kind of a secret thing. But this is what he wrote. Do you not sense love, even in my gestures? Love of the world, love of life and living? Do you not sense the hardship suffered, the pain endured, and the strength and joy born out of overcoming them? Do you not sense these deep feelings, these rooted emotions, woven into each sentence which I utter from my soft lips? Do you not feel, if only for a moment, as I feel when you look into my eyes and hear me speak, however sharp my tongue, do you not feel how intimately we relate to one another, as brothers, as sisters, as breathing beings, and how almost as Siamese twins we are, with all the detailed world in common joined? Instead of at the hip, we are joined at life as we share the same air. So are they Unitarians? I asked them that question, and Brian says, yes, he is a Unitarian Universalist. He's also a spiritual teacher and writer who helps other teachers and scientists create online courses in spirituality and self-development. But basically, he's a UU. Craig is self-appointed spiritual teacher with thousands of students all over the world. He's still a UU and has given sermons on the intersection between science and spirituality at many Unitarian churches over the years. I guess I would say yes. Being a UU mother was worth every minute of it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rosie.
I think we are ready for our closing hymn, number 1051, We Are.
Oh,
As we extinguish our chalice today, the light continues to shine within us, guiding us to build a more hopeful and inclusive and loving world for all. Let us now sing Carry the Flame. If the folks in the front half could turn towards the back.
Carry the flame of peace and love, men to